Welcome to After Dark on the America Outlaw Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Rob Harper, and my co-host tonight, Chris Tremogli of the Washington Examiner. Folks, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm sure many of you have been listening and watching the news lately, and things are moving at a rather rapid speed. Tonight, I thought we would be coming on talking about the first day of the Republican National Convention, or talking about Barack Obama trying to stab his former vice president in the back, figuratively, of course. I don't know if it's literally with everything that's going on, but definitely trying to take him out of the race for the president and replace him with someone else. Not to say that it would be easy, it would definitely be a very huge lift, but leave it to Barack Obama to work behind the scenes to try and get it done. We'll touch that a little bit, but I want to talk about this whole assassination attempt on former President Trump's life this past weekend. Chris Tremogli is on to talk with me about it because he recently did an article that I thought was rather timely and very much to the point. Violence against GOP politicians continues. Attacks on Scalise, Paul, Zeldin, and now trying to kill Trump. Now, I'm sure that many of you, our listeners, the astute listeners that you are, watched Biden address the nation last night and talk about the attempt on Trump's life. After he gave his speech, I tuned in to some of the networks to hear what they had to say about it. And some of them were saying, oh, it was so great. It was perfect timing. He's bringing the country together. This is unity and blah, 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 blah. And of course, Biden being Biden did a lot of stumbling over some of the things he was saying. My take on it wasn't good at all. It didn't go far enough. In fact, it didn't do what it should have done. And you know what it should have done? If he was sincere as to what he was saying, he would have denounced all the rhetoric coming from the left, the media, and his own party. He would have taken back the statement where he said that Trump is a threat to democracy. He would have said all of the political persecutions that are taking place right now, they must stop, they must end. And he would have also said we were wrong to refer to him as being Hitler. And the media, you're constantly getting it wrong. This man loves the country. We have a difference of opinion on policies, but do not doubt he is a patriot. And you know what else? Barack Obama should have come out and said the exact same thing, but they won't, and they didn't. So in my opinion, that little speech that he gave was worthless. It didn't go far at all. He should have come out strong and said, this is America, and we love this country. And if we're going to get it right, I've got to start by calling out my own party. Maxine Waters, the statement that you made about 2 years ago about wanting to take Trump out, you were wrong. Kamala Harris, the statements that you've been making, that Trump shouldn't be let near the White House, you were wrong. It starts at the top, Chris, and it trickles all the way down. Chris, what are your thoughts? Thank you for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me again. I pretty much echo a lot of your sentiments. I especially commend you on your opinion about the Biden speech tonight. It seemed like he purposely tried to avoid repeating the phrase assassination attempt on Trump. And he said it maybe once or twice. No, I know he definitely said it, so I can't say that he didn't say it at all. But he introduced a lot of other things during his speech. Even before like the flubs and gaffes that he made, he introduced things, you know, he brought up about January 6th and violence. And it seemed like he was just holding this press conference speech in the Oval Office to save face rather than actually go out and condemn the violence that an assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump solely so it would benefit him. There was an air of basically self-serving that was this whole thing that was going on tonight where, it sounds like you agree with me. I don't think that he at all basically showed that much sympathy or empathy of basically Trump almost losing his life if the bullet was maybe a millimeter or 2 millimeters over, there it was. And it was just kind of like he was just trying to make a statement for political purposes and try to shift blame away from the constant rhetoric that the left has dominated over the past, God, almost a decade at this point, if you think about it, which is nuts. But it's pretty much, you know, he didn't really do anything to take responsibility for the inflammatory rhetoric against Trump, all the constant, like, you know, oh, he's a fascist, he's a Nazi, he's a threat to democracy, he's a racist, he's a misogynist, he's a xenophobic. Everything they've ever said about Trump for close to a decade now, they've kind of tried to ignore that they were the culprits in it, and then basically just wanted to make a statement just to appear, you know, professional and political. And it was it seemed very flimsy and kind of a sham, in my opinion. And like you said, it didn't go far enough. And I just would even argue that it didn't go far at all. And it was just basically more of a distraction and an attempt to deflect an actual genuine concern.
It was an empty statement. Because absolutely. If you recall, a week ago, before all this took place, he came out and he said, "We're done talking about the debate. It's time we put Trump in a bull's eye." That's what Biden said. We also have to remember that there was a former Republican operative who decided to go left to say the only way you can stop Trump is a bullet through the head. That was Mark Wilson. He made the statement to Don Lemon back in 2017. He himself said, the Lincoln Project.
Yeah.
The only way to stop him is to put a bullet in the head. Why wasn't he arrested? Why wasn't he called in by the CIA, the FBI, to say, what did you mean by that? Democrats have created this groundwork of hate, destruction, and violence. How many times have we seen them on the left? Remember, Chuck Schumer came out and said, Brad Kavanaugh, you've awakened the Kraken. And look at what happened to Brad Kavanaugh once he was put on the Supreme Court. A man came from California, came to his house, hoping to assassinate him. When the Supreme Court recently came out with the rulings, the left have been attacking them, threatening them. Why didn't Biden just come out tonight, last night and just say on Sunday night, this is wrong. We got it wrong. These people love America. They love democracy. It is my party. It is myself. It starts at the top, and I have to correct this. That is a speech he should have made. And we have to call him out. And on After Dark, on the America Out Loud News Talk Radio Network, we're going to call him out because that speech was empty, and it didn't go far enough to quell the violence that's out there, Chris.
Absolutely. And not only did it, you know, not call him out, if you were listening to his speech, he mentioned acts of political violence that happened in the past, and he tried to say we have to move past it, as if, you know, after a decade of demonizing, vilifying, condemning, and criticizing, and making inflammatory claims that are completely false, completely lying, and spreading misinformation about Trump, all of a sudden now you want to take the high road and say, oh, this is too much, you know, as if it's like when a bullet comes two millimeters from Donald Trump's brain. Now, all of a sudden, we've gone too far. But when he was talking and making his statement, you notice he in the article that I wrote, not once did Biden ever acknowledge the violence against GOP politicians that have occurred within the last 7-8 years. He talked about what was her name in Arizona, Clifford Gifford? I forget her. I'm probably butchering that. But then she talked about January 6th, and he brought up all these acts of right wing. I don't even know if that one in Arizona was right wing. I think it was just kind of like an anarchist. But he basically omitted every attack that happened against GOP. He never mentioned the Black Lives Matter riots. He never mentioned Antifa. He never mentioned the Antifa assaults that were going on during President Trump's inauguration and inauguration events in Washington, D.C. in 2017. He never talked about the attack, the assassination attack on Steve Scalise in 2017, which a left-wing activist tried to essentially assassinate the entire Republican Congress. He never talked about the attack on Rand Paul in also 2017. He never talked about the attack on Larry Elder when he was running for a campaign governor. He never talked about the attack on Lee Zeldin when he was running for governor of New York. So Biden purposely, it was just an empty, you know, speech. It was an empty conversation. He just wanted to appear like he was talking, but it was very, very, very political and agenda driven. in which he kind of just wanted to drum up a professional appearance while ignoring all the facts, while also advancing a left-wing narrative on political violence. Because if he did, like you said, if he really did want to be truthful, he did really want to show empathy and care, he would have come out and said, you know, all this is wrong. We did all these things we were saying about Trump were wrong, all these like extraneous labels, inflammatory rhetoric, lies, and that they were wrong, but he didn't do that. And he didn't do that on purpose because that's, he doesn't, essentially, I don't think he cares. Now, do I think that he wants President Trump to be assassinated? I wouldn't go that far at all to say that about him, but I would say that he was very politically mindful when talking and believed that his sole purpose tonight was not expressing sympathy or empathy to Donald Trump or the, unfortunately, more, you know, arguably as important, the innocent bystanders who were killed. But he wanted to basically save face and try to make it a political messaging. And I thought that was kind of despicable.
Very despicable. He was trying to save face, trying to protect his party, wanted them to think that, hey, I'm still one of you. We're still in the flow. We still got this, as opposed to calling out his own party. There is a history of them making these inflammatory statements. There is a history of them saying that Donald Trump is a fascist. There is a history of them calling him Hitler. We can't unhear that. We can't unsee it. It's out there. It's on video. You can look at social media and you can see it. So for them now to pretend as if though they're holier than thou, they are the party that will save the country, it's wrong. And if he was sincere, if he wasn't just trying to hold on to power, he would have come out and he would have said, I was wrong. The statement that I made saying that there is a bull's eye on his back, I was wrong. Mark Wilson, who said a bullet to the head, he was wrong. Now, I bet you anything, no one in the media will remember Mark Wilson's statement. But as I said here on After Dark, we don't forget. And we're going to call it out. And we're going to call out Maxine Waters, who on more than one occasion threatened Trump, saying, I will go up to the White House and take him out. Even Madonna said that she's had dreams of blowing up the White House. Johnny Depp saying, when was the last time they assassinated a president?
Right.
When Trump was elected, they did a play here in New York in Central Park of Caesar being killed, and he was dressed like Donald Trump. How many rappers have created these songs saying that we're going to take out Trump? They've had effigies of Trump, burning Trump, killing Trump. And what did the left say? Oh, don't worry about that. That's not going to happen. No one's going to try to harm Trump. Remember during 2020, and Biden brought this up, not me, during his so-called unity speech on Sunday night, bringing up, oh, remember Jan 6, and we can't forget about that democracy. Yeah, but you didn't mention, as you said, Chris, he didn't mention anything about the summer of 2020 when people were told to stay inside because of COVID. But then you had these rioters going out and destroying state and federal buildings, taking over small parts of towns, killing police officers. And then they want to talk about Jan 6, which was a college boy prank. Thank goodness that the Supreme Court they've saw through this. And they're saying, no, you need to relook at this because we think you're overcharged. And because of that, the Democrats are mad. You have the media saying we need to do something about the Supreme Court. There is a violence. Why didn't Biden talk about that? If he was so sincere, why didn't he call that out? Why didn't he say, we got it wrong? We need to stop. Because we're creating this groundswell of violence. It is coming from the left. I'm not saying that the right, that they're perfect, but whenever you see this, it is from the left. Because people on the right, we have jobs. When Donald Trump almost lost his life, did you see people out in the streets rioting and destroying things? No, when he didn't win the election, did you see people out in the streets destroying property as they told us would happen? Even this past spring, the anti-Semitism, you had kids on college campuses destroying college property. Did you see anyone on the right doing that? Absolutely not. But you have the media saying, oh no, it's the Republicans. They're bad. They're evil. It's not us, it's them, and we have to call them out. Biden had the opportunity to do it, Chris, and he didn't do it. Because like you said, it was all politics. So all of those who are saying, oh, he struck the right note, he did the right thing. No, he did not. We have to call it out. We have to be truthful, because when we don't do it, unfortunately, what happened on Saturday night happens again. And people have to be aware of this, Chris. What do you say?
Well, I absolutely agree. I mean, you were talking about the recent events and on the college campuses. And let's not forget, like, these were, you know, left-wing activists that were causing all these destructions. And, you know, this wasn't MAGA Republicans or Christian nationalists that they, you know, the left have, you know, brainwashed the country into thinking about or to worrying about. These were admittedly communists and socialists trying to cause destruction in the country. And, you know, the violence was overlooked in the name of free speech. Look at the recent European elections when you're talking about in this country. This is a worldwide phenomenon of what the left tries to do. How many times did we hear, oh, the far right is winning in their elections in, you know, in France, in the UK, not the UK, the UK, the far right got, you know, the right got destroyed in UK, but in the European elections, it was always, oh, the far right, when they were trying to scare people. But when, you know, the right wingers won initially in the first round in France, there were all these riots by, guess who? The left. And, you know, they were causing all these violence and destruction, as the left has done for, God, at least 12 years now, from when, you know, the Trayvon Martin thing happened and Black Lives Matter sort of like formed. You could even make an argument it went back even before that, when George W. Bush was inaugurated. And, you know, there was all these violent protests on his inauguration day, as covered in Fahrenheit 9/11 by Michael Moore, that showed all these, like, you know, people throwing eggs at Bush. That was so violent that he had to, like, go inside his motorcade and couldn't take the traditional walk on his inauguration parade. So this has been going on for a while, but and it always gets overlooked. It's like straight out of an Orwellian novel, in which they kind of try to do the thing, the very feature they try to get everyone to be worried about and say that it's coming, and the threat, and they are the very threat that they talk about. And this has happened time and time and time again, and this is nothing different. And now we finally reached a boiling point. But I'll tell you one thing, though. I would say after the news cycle of the assassination attempt wears out, and assuming hopefully there aren't any assassination attempts anywhere by anyone on any candidate, I wouldn't even be surprised if the rhetoric dials back up again come September and October. I would even put money on it that would happen, that they would slowly work back in the threat to democracy and dictator. I mean, you know, look, it probably may not even take that long. This on Sunday morning, you had George Stephanopoulos and that other female commentator whose name's escaping me at the moment.
Martha Raddatz.
Yes, okay, Raddatz. Exactly. She was talking about how, you know, there was the January 6th, and she was talking about the line where, you know, Trump said it was going to be a bloodbath. Now, this is something that has been repeatedly debunked by now. It was used as inflammatory rhetoric to try to show how evil and violent Donald Trump was, but has been routinely and regularly debunked now. That showed that wasn't true. He was talking about an economic bloodbath. Yet she, once again, less than 24 hours after Donald Trump was almost killed, she repeated the lie. So this is who the Democrats are. This is who the liberals are. This is who the left is. And they were going to continue to do this. They may, like, dial it down a little bit, you know, given what happened. But I'm telling you, it's going to come back up again. The rhetoric's not going away. And I think, you know, the thing about the ABC News today, when, you know, she was lying. I mean, she was just lying about, you know, Trump's rhetoric, and also taking consideration all the other Democrats and politicians and pundits who are basically blaming Trump essentially for the assassination attempt on Trump. I mean, it's just bonkers. There is a level of fanaticism here that comes directly from the left, that is at their core and has been at their political activism going back to their, you know, Marxist origins in the late 19th century and early 20th century, and in the early parts of the Soviet Union and in Mao's China in the Communist Revolution. So this is nothing new with the left. It's just might be escalated and heightened more so than it is in the U.S. But you know what? You could even go back to the violence in the 70s of like groups like the Weather Underground and the Sibinese Liberation Army that were causing violence throughout the country. So, and you know, there was an attack, I think a communist tried to bomb the capital in 83, 84, I believe, if I have that correct. So, I mean, yeah, maybe this isn't even anything normal. This is just like the latest iteration of it and version of what's going on.
You're correct. And that's where we have to call it out and set the record straight. You're listening to After Dark on the America Outlaw Talk Radio Network. We'll be back after this brief commercial break.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited-time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Got gastrointestinal issues? We created a three-step, doctor-formulated, completely natural gut reboot system that takes less than 2 minutes a day to start working for you. Step one. Gut detox formula, a gentle way to clean the intestines and balance the body. Step two, nano silver solution, a safe way to restore gut bacteria balance and protect us from pathogens. Step three, green 85 juice formula, a simple way to replace the 85% of nutrition farmed out of our soil so our body can repair itself and increase energy levels. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/outloud today. Get the Malcolm Healthy Gut Bundle, reboot your gut and your energy, and save 20% on your first order.
We're back with the second half of the show. And my special co-host tonight, Chris Tremogli of the Washington Examiner. And as I said, I would encourage you all to go to the Washington Examiner and read his piece, Violence Against GOP Politicians Continues, Attacks on Scalise, Paul Zeldin, and Now Trying to Kill Trump. I want to pick up right there, trying to kill Trump. Many of you are aware that the left managed to find Trump, convict Trump of 34 accounts, some that he misclassified something on his tax returns. They're running away with it. Oh, we got him, we got him, we got him. After that happened, you had Democrat representatives in the House try to introduce a bill to defund or to take away the Secret Service protection from Trump. One of them being Benny Thompson, Troy Carter, Barbara Lee, Frederica Wilson, Yvette Clark, Bunny Coleman, Jasmine Crockett, Joyce Beatty, and Steve Cohen. Wanted to take away the Secret Service protection from Trump. Shortly after the assassination attempt on Trump's life, Representative Benny Thompson, a person on his staff, put on X, formerly known as Twitter, "I don't condone violence, but please get you some shooting lessons so that you don't miss next time. Oops, that wasn't me talking." Now, we just spoke about Biden and his so-called Bring the Country Together address after Trump was almost assassinated. Something else I want to say before I continue along those lines, that since this happened, I think Biden has come out three times to address this, trying to get it right, wanting people to think that he's concerned, and he's not. Where is the Secret Service? Why hasn't anyone from the Secret Service come out to address this? What is the woman's name, Michelle Chandel? Why hasn't she come out to say anything about this? Why is she hiding? Why hasn't she called in these representatives and said, what did you mean by that? And are we to read anything into this, them trying to take away Trump's Secret Service protection? And then when Trump is out giving a rally, a 20-year-old was successful in almost taking him out. I think that there's more to this than meets the eye and what they're telling us. I'm not a person who dwells in conspiracy theory, but a 20-year-old able to breach security, get on top of a building, and people at the rally see it, they tell the police, hey, there's a guy there that's scaling a wall, do something about it, nothing happens. And it had it not been for Trump turning his head, he could have killed the former president. You know, this reminds me of a piece that I read about Martin Luther King. There's a sermon that he gave, if it wasn't for a sneeze. And the way the story went is that King was out somewhere doing a speech, and a woman came up and almost stabbed him. And he said that the doctors told him, had he sneezed, that that person that tried to assassinate him would have been successful. Now, we know that later on he was assassinated. But I find that I look at that story and I look at Trump. Had Trump not turned when he did, he would have been killed. You have all these things coming from the left saying, oh, this should have happened. What never happened? I would say to you, as the Bible says, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. No matter what they do, it's not prospering. Trump keeps coming back stronger and stronger. But that being said, what did the the Secret Service know, and what did they not know? And why hasn't the director of the Secret Service come out to address the American people? What is she hiding behind? Now, we know that her name was Kim Cheadle. I got the name confused. Kim Cheadle. She apparently was on Joe Biden's detail when he was the vice president. When he became the president, he decided to promote her to be the Secret Service. And since she's been in that position, Chris, she has gone out of her way to get DEI candidates in that position. She even went on record saying that we need 30% of DEIA people, women, in this role. Now, if you saw the tape, our listeners, and I'm sure that you did, I'm sure that you saw this one woman who was yelling out, what do we do now? What do we do now? And I think she was all probably 5'6". How in the heck is she going to protect Donald Trump, who's 6'3"? DEI doesn't count then. Didn't earn it. She's supposed to protect the president? There are some roles that women just don't fit at. They just can't do it. But we're supposed to pretend, oh yeah, she can do it because we need our quota. Really? We need to know from Kim Cheadle, what the heck is she thinking and what is she doing? You know what else? She should have already resigned. She has failed miserably in this position. She has failed. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would definitely say that she would resign. In addition to the DEI stuff, which I'll touch on in a second, just for the fact that if she is the head of this department, this is the first assassination attempt since 81, 82, 83, 84 on Reagan. So you basically have one job and you were the first person to fail at that job in 40 years. You know, in a just and world and meritocracy, you probably should lose your job because you didn't do it. And the seriousness of the situation is you were literally quite possibly the person who could have been responsible for a presidential candidate's assassination. If like you said, if Trump turned his head a particular way or like one inch over. So that before we even get into all the other DEI stuff, that in and of itself just shows a level of incompetence. Then you add in the part where you want to kind of have the roles employed by a certain demographic. And that just goes to show the disastrous philosophy behind that, because you're not trying to hire the best people for the position regardless of who they are. You're trying to weaponize demographics to fit a political agenda, and that's not what your job is. Your job is to hire the best, the most competent people to protect the detail of the Secret Service, and they failed. They this to going into this, I mean, I don't know if If there would have been any men who would have been better, I have no idea. That's above my pay grade. I don't have any knowledge working in the Secret Service. But I would just target the fact that she failed, and she's on record of saying, you know, she wants to have a not hire based on meritocracy. Those two things alone right there are enough to question her leadership skills and whether she's the right person for the department. And compounded with the fact that, like, you know, we've all both mentioned before that, you know, Trump could literally be dead. She didn't, you know, prevent Trump being killed or assassinated. It was Trump, you know, turning his head a particular way is the only reason why he's here. So that, above everything, probably disqualifies her from should be continuing in the position. And the rest of the stuff, I think, is just an addendum onto how poor DEI and this, you know, this penchant and the desire to hire people not based on qualifications, not based on meritocracy, but having all that being overshadowed by fitting a certain, you know, a box on an application, whether, you know, in this case it seems to be gender. So that just is, it's a failures all around. And as far as, you know, I think it's also reflective of a lot of failures in government of what they didn't know, how the strategy behind everything just kind of is just another example of a lot of our government incompetence that needs to be rooted out and fixed overall. In kind of, you know, not to steal Trump's phrase here, but to make America great again, we need basically efficient people at their jobs.
You know, and I've oftentimes said here on After Dark, and I would encourage you all to go to America Out Loud Podcast Network and listen to some of our previous shows. But I have always said that we need to move the government, many of the agencies, out of D.C. because I think it's groupthink here. We need to move it to middle America. We need to move it to Texas, North Dakota, anywhere but D.C. We need to move the FBI outside of D.C. We need to move the CIA because it's too much groupthink. We have too many people. It's like a revolving door of the same thought process. We need to move it so that people can get fresh ideas and new thoughts and see things differently. As long as it's in DC, it's just a cesspool. We will never get anywhere because, as I've mentioned before on the show, once one administration goes out, you still have the legacy employees that are there, and they don't have to like the new administration that's coming in. And we saw that with Trump. Look at all the leaks that were coming out of the White House. Granted, there were probably some people within his own establishment or his own group that were leaking, but there were also legacy staffers that were probably slow walking things, weren't getting things done, and were lying and giving stories to the media. So it has to be cleaned up. But going back to Kim Cheadle, as you mentioned, 40 years, we haven't had an assassination. And then under her watch, this happens. And now she's hiding. She doesn't want to face us. She doesn't want to say anything. They were supposed to have given a presser the night of, and she didn't do it. I don't get this. I don't understand it. If she feels as if though she can do the role, then she should be able to pull herself together and come out front and face the media. Why won't she? I'm sure they'll probably throw her softball questions. But if she's in that role, she needs to come out. She should resign tomorrow. She should resign now and just say, hey, I respectfully submit my resignation. I didn't do a good job. But we know that in Biden's administration, no one leaves. They stay there. Look at Mayorkas, who has failed at the border to protect the border. He has lied about everything. He's still there. Look at Merrick Garland. He's still there. He won't tell us about the cocaine found at the White House. He won't protect the Supreme Court justices. And then we're supposed to think he's a great person. I would also submit to you this, that if this is investigated, and it should be, so I shouldn't say if, but when this is investigated, Merrick Garland must be removed, Christopher Wray must be removed, as well as Kim Cheadle. And when I say removed, meaning that they should have nothing to do with the investigation other than to answer questions. They should follow protocol, Congress, and get a special counsel to investigate. And the person has to be from what's outside of the walls of the White House. And I would submit that they get a Republican who is good at this. Don't get John Durham. I know that some of you like John Durham, and John Durham, I'm sure, is a great person. But we need to get a bulldog, someone who's going to go in and clean house and investigate. And it should not take, Chris, it shouldn't take 2 months or a year. We should have this wrapped up within a matter of time. If we devote the amount of resources, the same amount of resources that we're devoting to giving illegals, then we should be able to devote the resources to find out how, who, what, when, where, and why weren't we able to protect a former president? How is it that a 20-year-old was able to scale a wall, get on top of a building in broad daylight in a white building, and you have all of these people at the rally saying, look, look at this man, he has a gun, and they're saying, oh, where? Oh, no, there's nothing to look at. And then it's going to take like about 5 or 6 hours later to identify who the person was. He was a white man. It's the media's favorite boogeyman. You would think they would have random just rushed off and say, he was a white man. We told you so. And he had a gun. But they didn't. They waited. And they waited. Now, I would submit, and I could be wrong, that they were probably trying to scrub his social media presence. Again, that's just me thinking. I could be wrong. But to take that long, and he was a white man, their favorite boogeyman, and he was a Republican, so they say register. And folks, let me just throw this out there. Simply because they say he was a registered Republican, that means nothing, okay? It means absolutely nothing. He was a registered Republican and he never voted. Hey, I could be a registered Democrat, but I still vote Republican. It means nothing. So they're trying to throw you off the trail by saying, oh, he was a registered Republican. Oh, and he had a gun. Don't read anything into it. We need to know who knew what, when, where, and how. And how is it that Kim Cheadle did not do her job? And we're hearing also, Chris, that Trump's team had been asking for more protection, more cover. And she said, oh, I don't have to protect a social club. I'm not going to do that. No, I don't know if she said it or not, but we can find out. This is the same Secret Service who has not given protection for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Why not? What are they waiting for? This is a recipe for disaster. Was this all planned? Were they hoping that this happened? Were they trying to change the narrative of Barack Obama trying to stab Biden in the back? Figuratively, again, it could be literally. I don't know. Things are moving so fast. But it's worth thinking about. It's worth looking at. Folks, we're up against another hard commercial break. We've got to pay the bills. But we will be back, and we're going to continue the conversation. And we're also going to delve a little bit more into Chris's article. We'll hope you'd come back after this commercial break. Thank you.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Well, this is the last half of the show. As I said at the beginning of the show, thank you for tuning in, because I know that you could be doing something else. You could be watching the Republican National Convention, and I'm sure some of you are, but you're also giving us some of your time, and I do appreciate it. You know, when we went to commercial break, I was thinking, like, what am I going to call this show tonight. And there's just so much that's going through my mind, like I said, Biden not doing what he should have done to unify the country. And I also looked at Trump in that picture when he was the video when he was shot, and how he stood up and he raised up his hand, his fist, and said, "Fight on, fight on," meaning that I'm not going to give up. I'm here for you. That was so powerful. And although there are some on the left who are trying to say that this was staged, that Trump did this, I can't talk to those people. I would encourage you not to talk to them, because they're not living in reality the same way they haven't been living in reality, that Joe Biden is cognitively struggling. They want you to think that he's not. He just has a speech impediment problem, when we see with our own eyes that maybe a family member, an uncle, a parent has the same issue, dementia or Alzheimer's, but they want us to think that, oh no, don't believe what you're seeing. And as Chris said, do not doubt that after this smooths over, after the convention, that they will dial up the rhetoric again and start again saying that Trump is a threat to democracy. Because if they didn't believe it, and they know that he's not, because think about this, folks, if Trump was a threat to democracy, if Trump was Hitler, do you actually think that they would come out and say, oh, we hope Hitler gets better soon so that he could keep doing what he's doing? No, they wouldn't say that. But see, they're hoping that you don't realize the contradiction in their actions. They're hoping that you don't see through it. They're hoping that they can continue doing what they're doing and saying what they're saying right up until the election, when they can either drag Biden across if Barack Obama hasn't been successful and booting him off the ticket, or drag him across, then boot him off the ticket, and then anoint Kamala Harris, who they know that cannot win an election. So they've thought all this out. But when I think about this, and I think about what's happening, and the love that Donald Trump has for this country, and do not doubt his love for the country, despite what they're saying. And I look at this and I say, you know, he took a bullet for the people. He's standing in the way so that they can't get at us. He doesn't have to do this. He's already a billionaire. Why would he want to throw himself in this with everything that they've thrown at him? Letitia James has tried to steal his assets. She wants to put her hands on his assets and just like steal them. You have E. Jean Carroll. They changed the laws here in New York so that she could go after him. Thanks, Andrew Cuomo. And now it backfired and they're coming after you. You have a Judge Aragon who is just as corrupt as a day is long. But we can't say it here on the right, but they can attack the Supreme Court and question their rulings all day long. But we're not supposed to say anything when a judge is doing something that he shouldn't do. You have Judge Merchant, who was completely, completely compromised. His own liberal colleague, Shira Shinlin, said that he should have stepped down from this trial. But we can't say anything about it. And then you have the case in Florida. They're attacking Eileen Cannon because she's following the law. And she's like, no, we need to look at this. Despite all of that, everything that they're throwing at this man, including the fast Fanny situation, Trump is still there saying, I'm going to go through it. I'm going to stick with it because it's for America. Would you do it? I don't think I could do it. He took a bullet. And he's taken so much more for us, knowing that they can throw him in jail. And I would submit to you, Chris, had this not happened, they would have tried to throw him in jail. And they could still try to do it.
They still can. Convention.
Oh, yeah. They can throw him in jail. And
isn't the sentencing hearing coming up?
Well, it was delayed. After the Supreme Court came out with this ruling that, you know, you can't, there is protection for official acts. Right, they're now looking at this because they're saying, wait a minute. Some of the stuff Trump did when he was in office. So Alvin Bragg agreed we should hold off on the sentencing. But I think that's just a ruse. I think it was a ruse. They were going to wait until after the convention and then say, okay, we're going to throw him in jail or house arrest. But I think they would have preferred jail. But now with the assassination, this throws a complete different wrench into their plans. But do not doubt when I say they haven't given up. Because they see now that this election, they've lost it. They have lost it. And you have all these people that are coming out. And you know what should happen? Liz Cheney, but because we know that she's a nuthead. What was the other woman's name who was running against him? Who's going to speak? Nikki Haley. She should come out and give a complete endorsement of Trump, just like all of these backers that are coming out now and endorse him. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought. I had a Joe Biden moment. Jeff Bezos should come out and give a statement. Now, he's already said on Twitter, you know, he's praying for Donald Trump. What happened shouldn't have happened. He should come out and say, the Washington Post has been wrong. We're going to set the record straight. We're going to now report truth. We're going to be truth, fair, and accurate. That's what Jeff Bezos should do. He should say that. He should come out and say it and change all of this. Will he do it? Time will tell. Elon Musk has come out and said, after saying, I'm not going to support anyone, he's thrown his support behind him. Bill Ackman has done it, and so many others. This is what needs to happen, Chris, as well as the media calling itself out, or Barack Obama or Biden calling them out and saying, you guys have been wrong. You're creating this atmosphere, and it has to stop. I know that the Washington Examiner has been calling them out. Look at your article. I mean, other than the Washington Examiner, After Dark, and a few others, Newsmax, One American News, I think that we're like one of the only few that are calling this out and saying, no, you got it wrong. We're not chasing the narrative that the left is creating, because we've been calling out this biasness in the media for some time. I even said that the media is acting as a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. It needs to be stopped because they're not functioning as a real media the way the Constitution had laid it out. But I think that all these groups should come out and admit that they got it wrong. Jeff Bezos should be first. He should come out and say the Washington Post has to stop what it's doing, cease and desist, and we need to get it right because the atmosphere that's out there now is too toxic. What do you say, Chris?
Oh, it's funny you were talking about the Washington Post. Did you see the initial article that came out when they reported on the assassination? They said, like, instead of saying, you know, Trump was shot or assassination attempt, they said, like, Trump fell at the
I saw that.
CNN did. I forget which website had the same exact title, but it was something like, you know, CNN and the Washington Post had the, oh, you know, Trump falls at rally, or like Secret Service rushes Trump after he falls. And then not saying like, no, it was an assassination attempt. They were just completely dishonest and manipulative. But that's what gives me a thing. Like, there's not going to change. Like, if your immediate headline after a presidential candidate is, you know, get like a millimeter away from getting his head blown off, and you're going to basically spin it in the headline as if he fell down, or, you know, there was an event or an incident, like, you're basically showing to the world you're not going to change. You're just, you know, tucking your tail between your legs right now, trying to regroup. And I think that's what all this is at the moment. They're trying to regroup. They know they can't go be as aggressive as they once were because it's bad optics. But like everything else in this country, you know, the next shiny thing that happens in the news, then this will be, you know, forgotten, especially with the willing accomplices in the mainstream legacy media that are, you know, already trying to either A, blame Trump for an assassination attempt on Trump, or trying to deflect and change the topic. So this is going to be in the news cycle, you know, obviously for the immediate future. I would even contend, though, that as soon as Trump announces his vice presidential candidate, and we all don't know who it is, I mean, at this point, it could probably be Jesus from heaven, and the left would still try to find something wrong and vilify and demonize him. And they will switch to that, you know, as they slowly try to sweep the assassination attempt under the rug. So I just think this is just a delay. I think that, you know, what we're going to see from the left and the Washington Post and everyone that was, you know, using this alarming inflammatory rhetoric isn't going to change at all. It's just on pause right now. And that's why there hasn't been really, like, you were talking about everything. And the one key thing that you mentioned that doesn't happen, you know, arguably in our government, but specifically under the Biden administration, is accountability. There is no accountability for failure anymore in this country. There is no accountability for failure in the Biden administration. And that's why we have a lot of this rot. And this is why, you know, you were saying, like, think people need to be rude. They keep their jobs. They never lose their job. There's because there's no accountability. And, you know, President Trump said it in 2015 when he was running, 2016, they need to drain the swamp. Well, this is, you know, more, if there was ever any remote doubt in anyone's mind, this is further proof that we need to drain the swamp and basically, you know, get rid of all these bureaucrats, ineffective, lazy bureaucrats who sit around just collecting a paycheck and, you know, swimming around in their political influence and power and are not doing their jobs they're supposed to do to the American people. And that needs to change, and they need to get rid of that. And then that needs to be, you know, widespread all across. And that's the importance of draining the swamp. And that's arguably one of the preeminent reasons why they're targeting Donald Trump, is he's a threat to the existing power, wealth, influence that exists today in DC, in the swamp, in the bureaucracy. And Trump has to, I hope he goes through with it. If he wins election, I hope he kind of, like, you know, gets more aggressive in draining the swamp. He was met a lot of resistance last time, which is expected, but he was also sabotaged by, you know, many in his own party. You brought it up earlier. We're talking about the leaks. You notice how there's not as many leaks under the Biden administration as there were under Trump. And that, I believe, is purpose because, you know, Trump, Biden has loyalists in, you know, his White House administration among the Democrats, whereas Trump had didn't have that. And he had people who were just actively trying to engage in helping his failure and sabotage his administration. So hopefully, I don't know how you can vet that to make sure it doesn't happen again. But that's what probably needs to happen to change, insofar as it just will make our country overall ineffective and stop with, like, this whole nepotism and constant, you know, laziness and bureaucracy, and get back to a government that is effective in its decision making, makes sound decisions, and hires people on a meritocracy, not on political agendas.
I agree. And I would submit again that we need to move a lot of the agencies out of DC for such a time, maybe for a decade, but it has to be moved out because it's too much groupthink. People that, like you said, nepotism, people are coming in, they're recommending friends, and they have the same mentality. And although you will get in a new administration, the legacy staffers that are there, they still have the ideas of the previous group. So let's say Trump were to win in this year, 2024, he moves in his group. You will still have people that were there left over from Biden. Now, these are the same people who will say, I'm going to leave the country. They're yet to leave. They're still here. I wish they would leave, but they're not going to leave. It's all talk. They will stay there. And they're the ones who will create havoc with the new administration. Now, before we leave, before we run out of time, I'm looking at your article and something that one piece that you have here that I had completely forgotten about. And that was Lee Zeldin, who was attacked when he was running for governor of New York. And when I read this, I'm like, oh my gosh. You see, again, the media, they won't bring this up for you to remember. They'll make you think that it never happened. But he almost lost his life. A man jumped on a stage with a knife and could have killed him. And no one is talking about it. Steve Scalise, Rand Paul was beaten up. No one is talking about it. Dan Bongino, someone approached he and his wife. Larry Elder, a white person spat on him. And you would think that the media would definitely jump on that because it was a white person. Quiet, crickets. When it happens to the right, Chris, they say nothing. It's like it never happened. Forget about it. And absolutely, there are some people on the right who will play it down and say, oh, well, we can't say. I remember when Bernie bro tried to kill Steve Scalise, and people, well, we can't blame Bernie Sanders. No, we can't blame him. But the rhetoric coming from him and from the people that support him, we can point the finger. And in my opinion, we have to do it because that's the only way we will have accountability. But I am glad you mentioned this because, like me, like so many others, probably our listeners, Chris, have forgotten all about it. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I was talking earlier tonight, look no further than President Biden's statement tonight, you know, where he did all the incidents you brought up, you know, Scalise, Zeldin, Elder, Rand Paul. Biden mentioned none of them. And, you know, like I said, Lee Zeldin is relatively recent. It happened that less than 2 years ago. But, I mean, look, the attack on Scalise at the congressional baseball game practice, that was a huge event, right? And that was in 2017, where, you know, a left-wing gunman tried to assassinate every congressional Republican that was on the field there. And you know, that's a huge thing that just, you know, Biden just, you know, skipped over, you know, and he talked about, you know, oh, okay, what other thing he was talking about, you know, the January 6th or something else he brought up, but he purposely avoided every, and this is why I think he's completely disingenuous and his speech tonight was completely bogus, is he omitted every legitimate serious act of left-wing violence with the exception of the assassination attempt, you know, yesterday in his speech. And he's more concerned, we were talking about earlier, with saving face and advancing an agenda and appearing to care rather than actually care or, you know, legitimately giving a crap about the rhetoric. I mean, this is the same guy that stood outside Independence Hall, the building where our country was founded, the building where the Declaration of Independence, was written and voted to and approved upon, where the Constitutional Convention happened, where the Constitution was ratified, stood outside there and demonized half the voting population in the country, MAGA Republicans, with ominous red lights behind him. You know, and then he's going to have the gall to like come out and say this statement like, oh, their rhetoric has gotten carried away. You're the one of the main culprits in that, you know, starting from when you were a campaign. Didn't he say he wanted to take out like Donald Trump behind the back and punch him? He would have done that if he were in school, yep, or something like that.
He did.
You know, so he is completely disingenuous. All the Democrats are completely disingenuous. All they're basically doing now is they stepped in it. They stepped into what the assassination attempt. They realized like, oh, they had, it's like their oh crap moment, for lack of a sophisticated term. And they know they have to kind of do something to do damage control. And that's all this was. Like, they don't care. Like I said, I mark my words. This is like mid-July. I would say in less than two months, by mid-September, if not significantly sooner, the rhetoric calling Trump a threat to democracy, a dictator, every negative characterization of him and whomever his vice presidential candidate is going to resume. They're, like I said, they're just tucking their tails now. They're biding their time and everything's on pause.
Chris, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. Always keep your eyes open. Believe what you see. Listen to what you're hearing. Because the Democrats, they will pull a fast one in a minute. You're listening to After Dark on the America Outlaw Talk Radio Network. Your host, Rob Harper, and my guest host tonight, Chris Shimogli of the Washington Examiner. Again, I would encourage you all to go and listen and read his article, Violence Against the GOP Politician Continues. Good night, God bless, and God save America.